As we do that, I'd like to show you a picture this morning that I took yesterday afternoon. Yesterday, Judy and I were able to go to Judy's mom's flat. Miraculously, God has provided a wonderful opportunity for Judy's mom to move into a nursing home. And in all of Surrey and London, the Lord opened the nursing home that was closest to our own home, the manse, and to where Judy works. It was one of the most loveliest of nursing homes, I think, in London. And the Lord opened the door for Judy's mom to move into that nursing home. And we were so grateful. But it's meant that we've needed to go and close up mom's flat. And mom's flat is in a beautiful village called Alstead. And we were yesterday cleaning it and moving and scrubbing, getting it ready to hand over. It's been a refuge to us, even when we were at West Hill and here at East Hill. It was a place to go and spend time out in the beautiful country, giving us a refreshing perspective. And it's been a very, very special home to us as well, to me, the children. It's kind of been like our family home in England while we've been here. It's been absolutely beautiful. But while we were there yesterday, we had finished cleaning, we had finished doing all that needed to be done. And right at the end of a long day cleaning and preparing and packing, I had a chance to sit down in the lounge and look out the window. And as I sat down, I began to say to the Lord, "Lord, thank you. Thank you that you've given us this beautiful flat as a family. Thank you for providing for us a beautiful home that has sustained us while we transitioned from Zimbabwe into England. This was a blessing from God." And I was giving him thanks for what he had given us, just quietly. And as I was quietly thanking him, looking out out the window, this incredible rainbow appeared. The picture is just can't give the capture the brilliance of the rainbow, but it was absolutely brilliant in color. And as we looked, and as I looked out, I called and he was helping, and we came. And we were just amazed at the beauty of this rainbow. And it was kind of a way of us saying goodbye. A new season, a promise from God had been given many, many centuries ago. But it was as if the Lord was speaking to us yesterday afternoon through the rainbow in the sky, right at that very poignant moment. And as I was able to sit there, the rainbow lasted for nearly 30 minutes. It just stayed there. It moved slowly as the sun began to set towards that tree. But it was just amazing. And I was able to think about the rainbow and what it meant. Because so often we see a rainbow, but we either traveling or we don't have time to really reflect. But for nearly half an hour, I was able to look at the rainbow and think about it. And what struck me were three incredibly important things. Firstly, was that rainbow was the end story, was the final result of the story that we're looking at today, the story of Noah. That rainbow was the, as it were, the line that was drawn underneath the story of the flood. That rainbow wasn't always seen by people on earth. Before the flood, the people of the earth never saw a rainbow like that. That rainbow only came after the flood, and something might have happened in the clouds and the atmosphere to enable a rainbow to be seen when it couldn't be seen before. But we read that before the flood, the earth was watered more with a mist than with lots of hard rain. So the suggestion would be that in storm clouds, They never had those before. They never saw the rainbow. But God had worked it out through the sun and the light and his glorious creation to give a sign to the people of the earth. A sign. And the third thought that struck me was that rainbow was a sign of grace. It was a sign of God's promise that he would not come and destroy the world like that again with the flood, as the children said so well this morning. And as the rainbow came, it went. After half an hour, it just disappeared. But that moment stayed with me. It stayed in my heart, and I'd been very encouraged and inspired by what I had seen and what I had sensed and in the prayer that I'd had with God that evening, yesterday. And then as I looked at the sky, if someone had just arrived then, they wouldn't have seen it. But for me, it was an example of faith. Because what I knew was that it was God who put that rainbow there. It was God who had left that rainbow as a sign of grace to the people of the earth. And it was God who enabled me to believe in him. And that there was something of faith going on in my heart as I was giving thanks to God for his glory and for the rainbow. So the question is, well, what is faith? And where does faith come from? And how can we have this faith that is so important? And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we read these words. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And if you have your Bibles or follow with me, I'm going to read this morning from our passage in our fourth in the series of Hebrews chapter 11, from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 7. And this is what it says. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which were visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Genesis said he walked with God. And then by faith, and we read this, for without faith, verse 6, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And now verse 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according by faith and to faith. So we see in this reading this morning that faith is an essential ingredient to this thing called the Christian life. We see that faith is also something that is not seen, but does have evidence. And there are works that go with faith. Martin Luther said this. He said, faith alone saves us. We are saved by grace and by faith alone. Martin Luther, we are saved by faith alone. But then he said this. But that faith, that saving faith, is never alone. And what he meant by that is that the faith that we have, that God gives us, that God allows us to have and encourages us to have and gives us by grace, that faith will never be alone, because it will always have godly action. Faith results in godly action. Faith which is unseen results in godly action which will be seen in our lives, in our community, in our church, as we seek to establish God's word and testimony in this community. In faith, what we have got unseen will be seen in godly action. So here we come today to the story of those who live by faith. We saw it, didn't we, with Abel. Abel came and in faith gave a sacrifice that was acceptable to God. His faith resulted in a godly, acceptable action. Enoch was an ordinary man, and he walked with God. And by faith in his relationship with God, one day he was so in step with God, somebody said it was like God said to him, look, don't even go home, just come to my place. Let's go together. And he was gone. God took him, raptured him, if you will. By faith, we see the stories of these men of faith. And now we read today Noah, by faith, being divinely warned of things not seen. This is incredible. Moved with godly fear to prepare an ark. By faith, Noah warned of God of things unseen. God came to Noah and warned him. He said, Noah, the wickedness in the world has got out of control. It is widespread, and I can't take it anymore. The rebelliousness of mankind is overwhelming. I am going to bring a flood. But Noah, I see in you something good. I see in you an element of faith towards righteousness. And so, Noah, I'm warning you. This is what I'm going to do. And this is what you need to do. You need to prepare an ark. And in preparing that ark, you will save yourself and you will save your household. Noah, you need to build an ark. And so in faith, Noah, hearing God, believing God's word, took the step of building the ark. So the question is, well, why did Noah build the ark? Why did Noah actually go about building the ark? And you could say, well, was it because he sort of saw storm clouds in the distance and thought, I better get a boat going because storms are coming? No, that's not why he built the ark. Was it because he lived near the sea and maybe he saw the tides getting higher and higher and so built an ark? No, that's not why he built an ark. Was it because maybe he was next to a river and he had seen the river break its banks after a storm? No, because it didn't really rain hard in those days. But no, none of those things are why Noah built the ark. The reason Noah built the ark was because he believed the word of God. He believed what God had told him. And in believing God's word in faith, he set about doing what God called him to do. Now, I want us to think about this quickly this morning. Noah didn't have the opportunity to go down to Wickes or B&Q and buy a whole lot of wood that had been cut and get a whole lot of hammers and nails and hammer them together like we would do today if we were going to try and build a boat. No. Noah had no idea. He was not, as we understand, a carpenter. There wasn't wood that he could go and buy and build his boat. He had to start building the ark by finding a tree and chopping a tree down, and then trying to work out how he was going to build the ark. A huge ark, an ark as big as this building. How was he going to do it? He had never done it before. He didn't know what he was doing. But I want you to think about this. The day Noah took an axe and he chopped down that first tree, that was faith in action. That was Noah responding to the word of God. And by chopping down that tree, he believed God would help him build the ark, would help him establish what God had called him to do. And so it is like with us. Sometimes God lays something on our heart. He leads us. We try and discern what God is saying. And sometimes it takes a long time to get there. For Noah, it took over 100 years to build that ark. And I want you to think about it. Yet he never stopped because in faith, he believed the word of God. And imagine what it must have been like after 5 years and 10 years and 20 years of trying to build the ark and putting it together and finding ways to get the wood to fit. Every step of the way was an action, a godly action in result to believing the word of God. Faith is alone in saving us, but faith is never alone because faith equals godly action. Faith results in godly action. And sometimes that faith means we have to keep going 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, and people begin to mock us, and people begin to tell us there is no God, and people begin to say we're bigoted because we believe the word of God, and people begin to say these things. No, faith tells us that we believe the word of God, and we will respond in godly action. We will do what God has called us to do. We will proclaim the name of Jesus until he comes again. We will reach out and rescue the lost and the broken. We will go to schools and help children who are absolutely lost and share Jesus with them because God has told us to do these things. We believe that God will help us, and faith results in godly action, action that is obedient to God's words. And so Noah demonstrates in building the ark that he is acting on his faith. He is producing something on his faith. And I want us to think about this in closing this morning. That in that ark, there was no rudder. Noah wasn't going to try and steer the ship. There was no sail in which to set the ark on some sort of oceanic journey. All it was a refuge boat, and Noah entered into that ark. And when he went into that ark, he was trusting God to protect him through the storm. And today we have an ark that is made of wood. The ark that we have that God calls us to enter is the ark of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when Noah covered the ark with pitch and tar to stop the flood getting in, so our Lord Jesus Christ has covered the ark of our salvation with blood, which takes away the sin of the world, with blood that protects us from the storm of God's wrath. But we, like Noah, have to enter that ark. By faith, Noah entered that ark. By faith, God calls us to enter the cross of Christ, to hold on to our Savior, to ask forgiveness, and to be redeemed in the name of Jesus Christ, to take him as our Lord and Savior, and know that we are born again because of what Christ has done for us. That is what faith calls us to do. And when we enter that ark, we are surrendering our ability to go where we want to go and do what we want to do. We are submitting to God's will and God's direction. So today, as we close, I want to say this. Don't hold back from entering the ark of the cross of Christ. Let your faith, like Noah, lead you to submit to Christ, lead you to enter Christ, the will of God, and allow him to lead you and to save you and to secure you and your family. As we close, there's one interesting name that comes in the story in Genesis. It's called Methuselah. And Methuselah was the grandfather of Enoch and then Noah. And Methuselah lived longer than anybody else because God said to Methuselah, he said, you won't die. The flood and the judgment of God will not come onto the earth before you die. You will die before that happens because you will be protected. And Methuselah lived longer and longer and longer than any person ever lived before, to up to 900 years. And the reason I believe that he lived that long was because God, in his grace, was holding back, was hoping, was looking for an answer, was hoping for the people to come to their senses, even though he knew probably they didn't. He had prophesied they wouldn't. He, in his grace, was holding back. Just like that, God is holding back today because Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. There will be wickedness spread about the earth. Children will be disobedient to parents. Brother will rise against brother. You will hear of wars and kingdoms fighting kingdoms, and there will be pestilences, and there will be droughts and famine and disasters around the world. Just like it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. People will be giving in marriage and pretending nothing's wrong. People will wake up and go to work pretending nothing's wrong. But there is something wrong. This world is in big trouble. The world is turning its back on God, left, right, and center. And just like Noah, we have never more now than never before to come to Christ and to enter that ark and ask God to forgive us our sin and to protect us in the ark of Christ. Amen. Amen. May God bless you this morning. May we not leave while we sing this or listen to this hymn of reflection. Let our prayer be, Lord, let me come again to the ark of Christ. Let me kneel again at the foot of the cross. Forgive me, Jesus. Restore me. And let your love protect me in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's listen. Let's let that be our prayer.